I'm going to do, I don't typically do topical messages, but because it is Thanksgiving weekend, I'm going to do a topical message, but we're going to end up where you can all kind of turn to. John chapter 17 is where we're going to look at, and I'll let you turn there. I was thinking, now, what can I say about Thanksgiving that we haven't been, you know, we haven't said over and over and over again, I want you to be thankful, and last year, I think it was, or 2 years ago, we went through the ten lepers, and we kind of walked through that one. And so I'm just trying to get us to turn our hearts and minds and thoughts toward the Lord as we come to the end of this Thanksgiving weekend. If you're like me, one of the most things I'm thankful for is that it's over. I'm tired of eating. I have to be honest. I've enjoyed feasting, but I've got to slow down on the eating and just kind of catch up on some rest. You know, I thought, what could we say? What could we think about? So what I want to do today is look at the times that our Savior bowed his head and said thank you to the Father, all right? There's not that many of them, so we'll kind of get through this quickly today. But if you and I could see what Jesus is thankful for and understand why he's thankful for these things, then I think that we can be thankful as well this morning. Let's go ahead and pray before we get into the scripture. Father, we ask your blessings upon this message. God, I pray that you would teach us to be thankful people, that we would look at your Son today in a unique way and see his gratefulness to the Father, and that we would be able to see and understand the things that impacted him the most in his willingness to bow his head and give thanks. And teach us to be thankful people. We'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 11. You don't have to turn to all these places. There's about six or seven different places we'll look at. You can write them down or whatever. We'll end up in John 17. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. And you think, well, Pastor, that doesn't really tell me how I can be thankful. You know, that's a tough one. And yet this is what Jesus is thankful for. And I want you to read between the lines here, right? I want you to figure out what it is that Jesus is showing forth this great expression of thanks and praise to his Father. He said, I thank thee, God, that the Father, that you have not misunderstood how to deal with humanity. Do you see how this is playing out? Jesus says, you know exactly how this needs to be done, and I thank you, Father, that you are not only dealing with men as they need to be dealt with, because you understand it, but that, Father, you would take the time to deal with men who are unworthy of having you stop and pause and deal with them. You know, we can read a lot into this, but Jesus says to the Father, I just thank you that you would be so willing to save people who are so undeserving that you don't try and say, okay, it's these people over here who are the, you know, the upper echelon of society. No, but that you would reach down to the very lowest and reveal yourself to even the babes of this society. I don't know about you, but I take great comfort in that, because here's what I know about myself. I'm not one of these people. If God were saving the upper echelon, your pastor would not be here. I mean, the real truth is I don't have a wonderful pedigree. I don't. My grandfather was the town drunk and spent time in jail and probably should have spent time in prison for some of the things that he did to his children. My mom and my aunts. I don't have a great pedigree. I don't. I needed a God who was willing to reach down into the very lowest of society and reveal himself. And Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you have not just chosen this up here, but that you have chosen to reveal yourself to the babes. Praise the Lord for a God who loves us that much. That's where Jesus starts on this. His dealings with man, Jesus understands that God knows more than we do. He knows how to do this. He knows how to do it right. And Jesus is praising the Lord for how he has played out his plan. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 36, it says, "And he took 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude." Now, you remember the story, right? This is the feeding of the 4,000, the feeding of the 5,000. This is where Jesus takes the little bit, takes the little boy's lunch, prays and thanks God for the provision that the Father has made. Now, remember the whole story? Jesus says to the disciples, "Go and feed these people." And the disciples are like, "We don't have enough to feed these people. How could we possibly do that? There's thousands of people here," and they look at Jesus like he's, you know, finally kind of lost it, and they're trying to figure out what they're supposed to do, and they're almost in panic mode at one point where they're thinking, he's expecting more of us than is possible for us to do. Do you remember that? That's kind of where they are. And Jesus says, "Let me show you what God can do with the little bit that he has already given you." And so he gathers the little bit, and he says, "Father, thank you, and bless this." And God took the provision that he has. Folks, all too often, we're like Moses, right? And we're making excuses for what we can't do because of the little that we have been given. And Moses says to God, "I can't go into the children of Israel and lead them out of Egypt. I can't go and stand before Pharaoh and demand that he let the children of Israel go. I can't do this. What do I have to offer?" And God says, "What is that in your hand?" Remember how that conversation starts? "Take the very one thing that you have, Moses, the provision that I have given. Throw it on the ground. It becomes a snake," right? Read the story. It's kind of comical because it becomes a snake, and the Bible, read it again. Here's what the Bible says. What did Moses do when he saw the snake? He ran away. He did, like most of us would do. But here's the amazing part of that story, because this, I just think God has a wonderful sense of humor. God says to Moses, "Pick up the snake." Right? I can't imagine what it must have taken for Moses to walk back over to that serpent that he just ran away from and bend down and pick it up, and it became a rod again, right? But what God does is he takes what Moses had. Moses says, "I can't speak. I'm not eloquent of speech." God says, "I'm going to use you, Moses. I've given you everything you need to accomplish what I want you to do." And Jesus stops and he says to the Father, "Father, I want to thank you for what you have provided." Because what Jesus understood is what we think about, hear about, but seldom do we trust him for it. But Jesus understood that little is much when God is in it. Right? He understood that. He said, "Bring me what you have." And they brought what they had. They fed the multitude. And he says, "Gather it back." And there were, finish the story, 12 baskets full, right? Wow, it's incredible. If we could learn, like Jesus, when we ought to be thankful. I mean, how many of us throughout this last year spent time complaining about what we did not have rather than thanking God for what he had already provided. You know, it is so easy to get caught up. We live in a materialistic world. It is easy to get caught up in America, especially in this concept that everybody else has so much more than we have. And if only we had a nicer house, a nicer car, a bigger paycheck, if only we had more, then we could do so much more. How much more could God do, seriously, than with a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread? What do you think God needed in order to feed 5,000 people? What we have is what God has provided. And when we learn to be thankful, then we can be like Jesus and we can see God doing unusual things for the Father's provision. Buried in that, by the way, without being spoken, are things like this. Jesus not only says, "Father, thank you for providing this," but Jesus understood what was about to happen. You know, Jesus was not surprised that they were able to feed the crowd. You know that? Jesus was not surprised that they took up 12 baskets full of the remnants. Do you know what Jesus was thanking God for? God, I thank you that you're about to show these people something about yourself that they could never learn if they didn't have to feed 5,000 people with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. God, I thank you, Father, that you're about to show these people just what kind of a God you really are. A God who meets every need, even when it does not seem possible for that need to be met under the circumstances that we are at this time, right? So think about this. If you're battling some kind of illness right now, you're battling cancer, you're battling Parkinson's disease, you're battling some kind of kidney disease, I'm thinking of all the ones that we have sitting out here right now, okay? Whatever it might be that you're battling, that God, the same promise that God is making to Jesus and to these people, what little you have is going to do more than enough to accomplish what God wants to do in your life. This is an amazing thing. And Jesus said, I thank you, God, that this event is about to take place because these people are going to learn something about you that they never would learn any other way. John chapter 11, verse 41 says this, and they took away the stone from the place. Now, John chapter 11, I just gave you a hint. They took away the stone from the place. What's the story? Lazarus, all right? The story of Lazarus. Now, remember, Lazarus got sick, and they sent word to Jesus, and Jesus said, well, we'll hang around here for a bit, and then we'll go. And they went, and they finally arrived there, and Mary and Martha meet Jesus, and they're kind of a little bit, it sounds like, in the conversation, a little bit annoyed at Jesus. They say this, Master, had you been here, you could have saved him. Remember that? And that's kind of what's happening here. And in that conversation, Jesus reminds them of what they should already know. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. But look at verse 41. Here's what it says. They took the stone away from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said to the Father. Now, this is an amazing thing, right? Can you imagine having this conversation at a funeral? I mean, that's really what's happening here. Jesus walks in. They're all mourning Lazarus' death. And Jesus says, let's give thanks. That's what Jesus says. Let's give thanks. So here it is in verse 41. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee. First, he says, that thou hast heard me. And that's an important thing for us to get here. Jesus wants to thank God, thank the Father, that the Father has heard him. Now, I would just call on us to remember something, all right? That when you are in that difficult time, when your heart is breaking and you're hurting, when you are going through some circumstances that you don't understand and you don't can't put all the pieces together, there is a good time for you to find. You say, what am I supposed to thank God for right now? Well, thank God that he's still listening. He is still listening. So Jesus starts out this way. I thank you, Father, that you've heard me. But keep reading. This is an amazing thing. Listen to what Jesus says. And I knew that you heard me. Jesus, I'm not saying, God, that I didn't already know this. I knew that thou heardest me. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, Jesus says, not only do I thank you, God, that you still hear my prayer, that you respond to my voice, that you're listening when I cry out to you. That's an important thing. But Jesus says, I thank you, God, I thank you, Father, that not only do you hear me, but that again, we have an opportunity, Father, to show these people something that they could never know any other way. I didn't say this because I was doubting. I said this so that everyone standing around could believe on you. And Jesus is thanking God for what he's about to do and thanking God for how God is working in his life and thanking God for the circumstance that these people are having trouble understanding, but Jesus, I'm going to thank you for it anyway, Father. Thank you for hearing me, and thank you, Father, for the opportunity to show forth your power. Can I point this out to you? Those of you who are going through difficult times in your life, pray for, if you would, several of other people that we didn't mention today. My daughter-in-law, Abby, went to Wisconsin to visit her family, and they got everybody together, and on Tuesday night, her grandmother had a stroke and died on Thanksgiving Day. So, you know, I can imagine that's a difficult time for them to go through that. Can you imagine those things? Pray for Tim Harding. He's been in the hospital since he got beaten up outside of McDonald's and broke several ribs, and he's been in the hospital. It's been weeks now, maybe 6 weeks. They found something wrong with his heart. They're going to do this heart procedure. His diabetes is out of control, so much so that his index finger on his right hand is rotting away. It's down past the first knuckle already, and it's just nasty looking. And he's going through some hard times. And can you imagine going through those hard times? If we would stop and say, God, I thank you. Not only that in the midst of my trouble, you hear me, but I thank you, Father, that you've given me the opportunity to help others see your hand at work. That's what Jesus says. He says, Father, I thank you not only that you hear me, but that we have the opportunity now, God, to show people what you are all about, how you make a difference in our lives. So when you're going through a hard time, it's God. You know, the real truth is I can go visit people in the hospital again and again and again, but because I've never had cancer, people look at me and say, thank you, Pastor, for stopping by. But somebody who has had cancer, who goes to visit somebody in the hospital with cancer, it changes everything. Because that person in the hospital knows. They really understand. And God has given you an opportunity to show forth his power in ways that can't be done any other way. And Jesus said, God, I thank you that you hear me. And I thank you that we have the opportunity to help these people to see your hand at work and your mighty power. And it says in verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And of course, he rose from the dead. Now, there's one other place, not very many places, where Jesus stops and gives thanks. There's one in John chapter 17 where I've had you turn. There's no place in John chapter 17 where Jesus says, thank you, Father. We're going to look at that one apart from those words, all right? But there's one other place where Jesus says thank you that is so powerful that it's almost frightening. You know what it is if you think about it, because it's represented by this table right here. Jesus is sitting around with his disciples. This is in Luke chapter 22, verse 17, 19. Jesus is sitting around with his disciples, and he's about to show them the Lord's, what we refer to as Lord's Supper, or as communion. And he takes the juice first in John chapter 20, or in Luke chapter 22 and verse 17. He takes first the juice, and he says, the Bible says that he gives thanks. And then he takes the bread, and the Bible says he gives thanks. And he reminds the disciples what it's all about, right? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the order is different, but in 1 Corinthians 11, the church is told how to do this. And so we take the bread, and we give thanks. And we take the juice, and we give thanks. And for us, it's in remembrance. But for Jesus, this is what's coming. Now I want you to hear this. Jesus is literally saying to the disciples, this juice represents the blood that I am going to shed for your sins and for the sins of the world. Let's thank God for what he's about to do. And he gives thanks. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Jesus to say, Father, I thank you that I have the opportunity to shed my blood for the sins of the world, or the opportunity for my body to be broken because I love these people so much. That is literally what is being played out in Luke chapter 22. And Jesus stops and gives thanks, not just for one, but for both of these things, for the shed blood and for the broken body that is his own. We need to learn something about thankfulness. When we have a Savior who not only knows what is about to take place, he understands what is going to happen. He knows that he's walking into his own death. And at that moment says, let us give thanks. If we want to learn something about thankfulness, we need to learn something from our Savior. He gives God thanks for hearing. He gives God thanks for responding. He gives God thanks for providing. He gives God thanks for the opportunity to do great things and to see great things done through his life, even if those things are surrounded by problems and difficulties and heartaches and things that are difficult to understand. And ultimately, he gives God thanks for the privilege of being used by God. What a Savior we have. And if we're going to give thanks this year and throughout the year, we need to adopt the mentality of our Savior, of giving God thanks, which brings us to John chapter 17. So, somebody tell me, what is John chapter 17? If you've been coming on Wednesdays, then we've looked at this on those that list of great chapters. What is John chapter 17? It is the Lord's Prayer. Not our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's the disciples' prayer. It's often referred to as the Lord's Prayer, but that's Jesus teaching us how to pray. But when Jesus prays, when the Lord prays, it's in John chapter 17. Now, there's no place where Jesus thanks the Father in John chapter 17. But what John chapter 17 is a prayer of praise to Jesus about the things that are about to unfold for those of us who would come to know him as our Savior. And Jesus literally is praying. It's precious passage, because Jesus literally prays for us. I mean for us, for the people sitting right here. Jesus is on his knees praying for you and I. And throughout John chapter 17, he's praising God, walking through all of the things that God is about to accomplish because of that crucifixion that we just talked about. It's the Lord's Prayer. Listen to some of the passages. Let's start in verse 1. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with thy glory, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name. And Jesus goes on, going down to verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given to me, for they are thine. All that are mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Go down to verse 13. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. This is Christ praying for you and I, that we would have joy, that we would have life, that we would know the Father through the Son. This is Jesus' ultimate of saying, God, I am thankful for the privilege you are about to bestow upon me of being the Savior of the world. What was going to happen on that cross is described in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, where the Bible says this, and he, God the Father, made him, Christ the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It is time for God's people to thank the Lord.